Welcome to everyone who's watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us here today. And I'm so glad that you showed up to be in here in person today. Wow, God is so good, eh? God is so good. Wow. You know, He deserves all the praise and glory. And thank you, worship team. So good to have you here. So, we'll say welcome once again. We're headed into a new season, a brand new year. And we need some injection of God's Word and God's truth in us, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah, amen. I know I do. So I want to tell you today that, you know, sometimes when the preacher preaches and he says all these things and he throws out the challenge to you, I want to tell you sometimes the preacher is preaching to himself as much as he is preaching to you. Amen? So I want to tell you that today in my message, I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's agree that God will bless this word today. Thank you, Father, for truth that sets us free. Father, we need to hear your truth. We need to have our eyes opened up, like Paul said to Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may see the hope of your calling, your glorious riches that you have in the saints, and the incomparably great power for those who believe in you and your word. I added that in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We look across at your neighbor, give him a wave, and say, hey, it's good to see you. It's different, isn't it? You know, we do what we can to fellowship and to connect, right? Okay, let's jump right into it. We're into a series called Say Yes. Say yes, and today my message is entitled, Say Yes to Living Your Best Life. Amen? You know, we're talking about living your best life, not your average life, not a meager life, not even the life that people tell you you should be living, right? But we're talking about the life that God has called you to live, and it's your best life. Last week I talked about moving your life forward, how important it is, how vital it is, and seizing opportunities. You know, it's not what happens to you that determines your future. It's not what happens to you that determines your life. It's how you respond that determines your future, right? So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. How satisfied are you with your life right now? How satisfied are you with your life right now? Now, if you're not satisfied, I'm going to ask you, then what can you do about it? Right? I'm asking these questions because I don't want us to miss what God has for us in our future this year. Amen? You know, everywhere you go, you look at people's faces, and even though they're wearing their masks, you can see that people have given up living their best life. You can tell just by looking, there's a countenance even behind the mask that they've given up on their hopes and their dreams. Isn't that right? You know, as a parent, I've been a parent, now I'm a grandparent, but whatever you are, parent or grandparents, you know, you want the best life for your kids, don't you? You want the very best life. You know when they used to have those sporting events just, you know, a couple of years, last year or the year before, when, you know, the kids are gathered together, soccer events, baseball, and the parents are out in the lawn, you know, out in the fields, and we're sitting around, and the parents and the grandparents are really getting involved emotionally in the kids' game, right? I mean, you want to see your kids do your best. You want them to score that goal or make that block or make that big play, and you can really get emotionally involved. And some parents really can get carried away too, right? But I wonder if God feels the same way about us as kids. I wonder, you know, I think perhaps the hardest thing for the Father in heaven is to see His kids not living up to the potential that He put in us, amen? And I think perhaps the greatest joy in the heart, in the Father's heart is when He sees us rise up to be all that we were created to be. Would you agree with that? There's only one time in the Bible where Jesus and his father. They expressed their incredible joy, their over-the-top joy and pleasure. And that was when Jesus had just sent his disciples out on a missionary excursion to preach the gospel. And they had just come back after they'd been through town after town. And they were just filled with joy because of what they had experienced. Great success. They'd seen people get saved. They saw demons being delivered out of people's bodies. They saw people being miraculously healed. They saw signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, they were over the top because they were living out their potential. They were living out the grand purpose of life. They were using the authority that Jesus had given up. Listen, they were living their best life. Right? So here's the question. What's it going to require for us to move forward? What's it going to require for you to live your best life? Now, God talks exactly about that in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, in the book of Joshua. And it says, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua probably felt huge inadequacy. He was probably lacking in confidence. I mean, I believe there was a battle going in his mind, and he was being threatened with these negative thoughts. I mean, here he was. He's literally in a place where he's taking over Moses' leadership. The man, the Bible says, the only man who met face to face with God. I mean, these were big shoes. And he had just been given a huge assignment to lead a nation of God's people, over 3 million plus people, from the place he had been for years and into a brand new place. Amen? Four things that God is saying to Joshua. Number one, in these scriptures, he said, get ready. Get ready, get prepared to cross over to the Jordan. The Jordan represented the boundary between their past and the future. And he said, time to move forward. Second thing he said is this. Number two, I'm going to expand your territory. I'm going to enlarge you. I'm going to take you from slavery and from oppression, you know, and from not enough. I'm going to give you a better life. I'm to experience a better life, a life of freedom and a life of prosperity. Exactly what God wants for you and I today. Number three, he said, you are going to win. You're going to have battles. You're going to have fights. You're going to have skirmishes. But listen, you're going in the end to win every battle. Why? Because I am with you. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. You know, he didn't promise them no disappointments, no setbacks, no battles. In fact, he said, expect them because they're just a part of life. And then he says, but Joshua, to do all this, to get into, you know, to inherit the territory, to win the battles, to do all this, it's going to take something else. Number four, you will have to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. Verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, he says, be strong and what? very courageous. Verse 9, go to verse 9. Have I not, and it's like, and then he, again in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Hey, Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Living your best life is going to take courage. Courage, right? Because there are battles you're going to have to fight. There are fears you're going to have to face. There are pressures and pain that you will have to endure. There's the pressure to compromise, and it's going to be so easy to just want to throw in the towel and just giving up living your best life. Isn't that right? It's so easy to be held captive by the restrictions and limitations that life and people try to put on us, right? But at the same time, there's all these struggles, there's fights, there's battles, there's negative things, there's darkness, there's evil happening around us. But at the same time, God is opening doors. God has given us opportunities. And He's given us assignments. And the only way that we will be able to experience these opportunities and open doors is to have courage. We've got to have courage. And we all have. I said we all have inadequacies. We all have struggles. The student wonders, am I going to pass the test? Am I going to graduate? Am my marks going to be good enough? And we think about the employee. When the employee wonders, can I find another job? I lost my job in this pandemic recession, but am I going to find another job? Or the parent wonders, you know, can we raise godly kids? Or the husband says, can I be the best husband to my family? Can I be the best father? Can I lead my family during these times in a way that pleases God to raise godly families for Jesus that glorify Him? Amen? We all have these questions about, you know, our abilities and what our life is going to be like. Listen, it takes courage. It takes courage to live your best life. Amen? It does not take courage to live a mediocre life, an average life. No, it doesn't take any courage to be a couch potato, does it? And it doesn't take any courage to be a cultural Christian. Just a Christian who kind of blends in the crowd. Listen, I want to tell you, Jesus wants you to stand out. Stand out. Look at the life of Jesus. He's the best model. Jesus never came to the earth to blend in, did he? Man, did he stand out. Everything he did, everything he was counter-cultural to the religious foreground. Amen? He was counter-cultural. He never blended in. In fact, there's a scripture where God talks about his son. Way back in Psalm 45, he says in verse 7 to his son, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God has what? Set you above your companions. Set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Right? He says, I'm going to set you above. I'm going to make you stand out. It takes courage not to play it safe. It takes courage not to play it safe. The Holy Spirit set Jesus apart. The Holy Spirit sets us apart. Amen? And God empowers us through the Holy Spirit to live outstanding, exceptional lives, right? Big lives. Strong lives. No, not fearful lives. Not back shrinking in fear and weakness. Listen, being small, being safe, and being small does not honor God at all. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, my righteous ones will live from my faith. But if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. There's an exclamation mark after that. But verse 39 says, but we are certainly not held, we certainly are not those who are held back by fear and perish. We are among those who have faith and experience true life. Amen. Amen. That's who we are. We're not shrinking violets. You know, we're ones, people who rise up in the strength and the courage that God gives us. Number two, it takes courage not to be ordinary. It takes courage to be exceptional. What is that exceptional word? What does that mean? It means uncommon, unusual, out of the ordinary. In the Old Testament is a great story about a guy named Daniel. Daniel was a young Hebrew lad, just barely over older than a teenager. And he, with a few others, were sent into exile as slaves into this wicked pagan country of Babylon. And he is serving the most powerful pagan king in the world at that time. His name is Darius. And it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now look at verse 3. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his what? Exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. That means Daniel stood out. Daniel was unusual. He was out of the ordinary. He was exceptional. Jesus told his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Right? See, God put his potential, his abilities, his spiritual gifts in us. And he wants us to take that light and to turn it on and to shine for God in this dark world. Amen? Notice, I want you to notice something. Jesus never ever told his disciples not to be great. He never said, don't be great. Now, one time he said, don't desire great things for yourself, but he never said, don't be great. What did he say? If you want to be great, if you want to be great, then what? Then be a servant, right? Learn to serve. In other words, be like me, right? Watch me, be like me. Learn to serve. Serve your way into greatness. Serve your way into greatness. It's true. Serving doesn't make you inferior. Serving makes you great. Kevin Carroll said, if serving is beneath you, then greatness is beyond you. God wants us to be great in the kingdom of God. You know how you're going to be great? By out-serving everyone else around you. Amen? We serve our way into greatness. I'm going to finish this message with three things. I can tell you, I can exhort you to be courageous, but I want to tell you how you can be courageous. These three things are so critical for anyone if you're ever going to have the courage to live this life that God has you to live. Number one, are you ready for this? I'm preaching to the choir here today, right? Number one, get planted in the house of the Lord. Get planted in the house of the Lord. Because we are stronger together, aren't we? We are stronger together. I say this, you need church in your life. Every single person, and Christians, we need church in our life. I say, if you distance yourself, if you move away from God, you literally will distance yourself from God's plan for your life, right? And if you don't fill your life with God's way, His will, His word, and His church, then you will end up having this huge void in your life. And this huge void in your life and in the life of your kids' hearts will be filled. And I tell you, it will not be filled with God. Right? I think, church is so, it just seems like church doesn't matter to many people anymore. And church is, I think the greatest gift after salvation that God gave us is the church, right? And listen, you focus what you value on. You focus what you value on. We are today a New Testament church. Our greatest model is right in the Bible. It's in the book of Acts. We are a New Testament church. And I say, like the New Testament church, listen, we meet when it's dangerous to meet. We gather when it's not easy to gather. We give our lives to the purpose and the cause of the kingdom, right? We are a part of God's family, God's church, which is the hope of the world, right? You know, I've seen the negative results of parents who have left church and moved away from a church, and years later, they see the devastating results in the lives of their kids, and they've usually totally fallen away from their faith. And I said, this is the reason why we have kids' church at City Light. The reason we have kids' church is not to entertain the kids while we're in here hearing the Word of God. It's to teach them how to live. It's to give them the values and the faith that they need so they can live this life for the glory of God. Prepare them for now and to prepare them for the future and to prepare them for eternity. Right? You know, I say, listen, if you think that all you need is Jesus, all you need is Jesus and you don't need the church, I want to tell you, you are totally, totally off base. You are so out there, you are totally wrong. We need church. Church matters. It matters now, and it will matter 100 years from now. You know, we need to cultivate not just a love for God, but a love for His church. Amen? Number two. You want to have courage. You've got to be consistently in the Bible. I'm beating the drum again. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 says, God says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. And then in the next verse, he says, here's how you'd be strong and courageous. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Three things. Number one, speak it. Have it always on your lips. Talk about it all the time. Number two, meditate on it. Memorize it. Write it out. Put it on a card. Put it on your mirror. Get that scripture right into your heart, right? Number three, apply it. Be careful to do everything written in it. How powerful is the Word of God, right? Number three, third one, you got to exercise your courage. Courage has to be exercised. Kevin Gerald is one of my favorite speakers. He's a great pastor in Tacoma, Washington. And Kevin Gerald says that courage is like a mind muscle. Courage is like a mind muscle. It gets stronger the more that you use it. Stronger as you exercise your courage. And he says in his book, Mind Monsters, that basically courage is synonymous with faith. Right? So he gives us, in his book, an acronym for faith and an acronym from courage. You know, courage and faith are synonymous, aren't they? See, you can't have courage without faith. And you can't have faith without courage. Right? They're almost synonymous. So he gives us an acronym. If you're going to have courage, then you have to first of all focus on the positive. I say focus on the positive. Stop watching CNN. Constantly negative news, right? Stop doing that. Focus on the positive. Focus on the Word of God. Focus on the positive. A, affirm yourself. Affirm yourself. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Affirm yourself. I imagine God doing something good. Imagine the good, not the worst. Some people imagine the worst all the time. I can do that sometimes. Imagine the best. Imagine the good that God has for you in your situation. T. Trust God in all things. What does Romans 8:28 say? In all things, God does what? He works for the good of those who love Him. And been called according to His purpose. Trust God in all things. And H, hope for the best. Hope for the best. Hope is literally the anchor that lashes us to the throne room of God. Amen? Hope. Let's have faith. Let's have courage. There's another great scripture in the Bible where David the psalmist says that you were fearfully and wonderfully created by God. You know that scripture? You were fearfully and wonderfully created by God. In other words, you were made in God's image. Of all the things that God created, you are supreme, right? You are the best thing that God ever created. You have potential in you that you don't even realize. You're stronger than you think. And you know, you've been given power and authority over your life. You see, you're just not a machine. You don't just punch buttons and instructions. You just do what you're always supposed to do. You've been given the will by God. You've been given the power and authority over your life to make decisions and to choose. Amen? So here, you can decide what you want to do. You can either shrink back in fear, or you can exercise your courage. Can't you? Isn't that right? In the, you know, one of my my favorite movies is The Karate Kid, especially the first one. There's about three of them, right? And I love those movies. And in here's a picture in a scene. It's the Valley Tournament, and it's the semifinals. And Daniel's son, is up against one of the most formidable Cobra Kai opponents. Well, in this match, he's getting beat up bad. He's just taking a beating. He's kicked in the groin, and he's on the mat. He's down. He's almost out. And the guy is just taunting him. It's like the enemy just taunts you. Give up. Give in to your fears. It's no use. You call it quits. You have no, you know, you're done, you know. But Mr. Miyagi won't let him do that, right? So watch this little clip. Turn it up a bit.
Mr. Miyagi, it's over. It's over. Forget about it.
Cannot, must not. It's okay, lose to opponent. Must not lose to fear.
Yo, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of him, all right?
Oi.
You stay focused. Tennis are your best karate still inside. Now time that out.
Did you get that? Let's watch it. Let's watch that one more time, okay? Just watch it one more time.
Mr. Miyagi, it's over. It's over. Forget about it.
No.
I'm afraid. Just get out of here. I want
to go home. Cannot, must not. It's okay, lose to opponent. Must not lose to fear.
Yo, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of him, all right?
Oi, oi.
I'm afraid.
You stay focused. And these are your best karate still inside. Now time that out.
Amen. You know, I wonder if God does that for us, like Miss Miyagi. We're down, we're up, we're just thrashing around in pain in life, and God gets down on a mat with us, doesn't he? And he tells us to focus, right? He says, Daniel's son, okay to lose to your opponent, but not lose to fear. Amen? He says, your best karate still in you. Now, time to let it out. And it's like God is saying, your best life is in you. Now's the time to let it out. Amen? It's okay to lose your battles. It's okay to lose an opponent. But must not lose to fear. Amen? Amen. That's exactly what he says. For God, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God will never give you the what? The spirit of fear. And if God doesn't give it to you, who tries to give it to you? Yeah, the liar, the devil. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you what? Mighty power, love, and self-control. Yeah. Amen. The more filled with the Holy Spirit you are, the more filled with God, His way, His will, His words, the more courage you will have. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. You give us courage, Lord. You know, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to want a better life, is it? Better marriage, better business, right? It's not wrong to be successful. It's not wrong to be exceptional. It's not wrong to want to live your best life, right? But I want to tell you, just like that movie is telling, like God is telling you, now is the time to live your best life. Despite all the darkness, despite all the evil that's going on, now is the time. In the times of darkness, what happens to the light? It shines the brightest. And there's only one light in this world that's going to shine. And it's the light that comes forth from you and I, the church. Amen? Now's the time to let it out. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, you may be here today, or maybe you're watching online. And if you've never invited and received Christ into your life and into your heart, I want to say this is the day to place your faith in Jesus. This is the day to invite Him into your heart. This is the time, this is the day to surrender your will to Him and to invite Him into your life. Not just to be Savior, but to be Lord and Master of your life forever. If that's you, and you want, you can say this prayer, but when you say it, don't say it half-heartedly. It won't mean a thing. But if you say it with all your heart, you've got God's ear, and God will release you into this brand new life, into an incredible life, incredible significance, and He'll give you the eternal life when you pass away from this earth. But in between now and then, God has promises for you that are out of this world for you to receive. Amen. Only He could give them to you. If that's you, say this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that You died on the cross, and I believe that You shed Your blood to pay for my sins as well. Please forgive me for every sin I have ever committed. Today and now, Lord, I invite You into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer and you're here in person, you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you to raise your hand. I can't see you start, but raise your hand and just wave it. And one of the ushers in the back will tap you on the shoulder and say, come on over to the welcome lounge after the service, though that lamp is on there, and they'll tell you what your next step faith in your journey walk with God is. It's just the beginning. It's a huge decision, but it's just your first step. If you're online and you made that decision, you said that prayer, will you touch that little hand, that little symbol at the bottom of the screen? That lets us know that you said that prayer. Then there's a phone number on that screen. I want you to phone number. Call that number, and we'll connect with someone who will tell you, you know, what you can do in your next step faith with Christ as well. Amen? So will you do that today? So whether you're here in person, whether you're online, let us know about the greatest decision you have ever made in your life. Amen? Amen. We're just about finished, but I want to talk about just a little about finances, you know, about receiving. But, you know, I think it takes courage to do just about anything in life. And I think it takes courage to be a generous giver, right? Because sometimes we're faced with these fears that if I give, well, then it's gone. Well, that's a lie of the enemy, isn't it? If I give, it's not gone. In fact, that's exactly opposite to what Jesus said. What did he say? Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, right? And in a greater measure, pressed down, it'll be poured back into your life. And He also said, whatever you reap, you're going to sow. In the measure that you sow, you're going to reap. So, you know, if you want to be, it takes faith and it takes courage. But when you use that faith and courage, wow, do you see incredible results. God gives back to us in so many different ways, doesn't He? It's not just back in money. It's back in all kinds. Peace, joy, you know, safety, protection, healing. So many ways that God can bless us. On your screen, you see a CLC Cares. Oh, go back there, CLC Cares. We have a ministry. Man, we have needs to meet. So many people calling. And so many people are desperate. Sometimes we say, yeah, people are just using it. But, man, I tell you, there are people who are really desperate and in need. And so we're trying to help. We can't help everyone, but we're helping who we can. That's all we can do, right? But that's our CLC ministry, community assistance for relief and emergency. And a lot of people are getting into that place right now with what's going on with COVID and loss of jobs and businesses and everything. There's more of a need, and the church is rising up more. That's the reason why we exist as a church, is to help people, right? Spiritually and practically too as well. So if you want to give, please give in that area too. You can give your tithe, but give a bit to that program too as well to help people. All right? So there are 5 ways that we can give. You notice we have a limited tithely. We just didn't have a lot of people using it, but you can give by cash. Does anybody still give by cash? Once in a while, checks. Once in a while, debit, credit. But, you know, the easiest way even for us is by credit or by e-transfer. It's so easy to give. And even if you're online, you can do that too as well. Amen? Amen. So I want to thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your generous giving. Thank you for supporting City Light Church. Thank you for being a part of our church family. We pray the blessing of God over your lives in every way. Amen? Amen. We're basically finished our service. If you join us online, we're going to sign off now. We just thank you.